Good evening, listeners. This is the Macintosh Radio Review on WDRT Viroqua. I am one of your hosts, Amelia Jury, Youth Services Director at Macintosh Moore Library, and I am joined today by my co-host,
April Anderson, Adult Programming and Outreach Coordinator, and I also work at the Macintosh Memorial Library. Happy to be here with you all.
And we are going to go ahead and jump right in to talking about programs. So coming up here in February, I'm going to start with the angle of talking about all of our fun things for youth. So coming up here in mid-February, we are going to have a Scenic Bluffs Dentistry Story Time on Monday, February 23rd from 3:45 to 4:45 p.m. There will be lots of little gifts given out, so I hope you'll come and join us on Monday the 23rd from 3:45 to 4:45. Shortly after that, on Thursday, February 26th, we have a cupcake battle. If you've ever seen the Great British Bake Off and you've thought, wow, that's something I would like to do, well, here's your chance. So the cupcake battle is going to take place on Thursday, February 26th from 3:45 to 4:30, and registration is required for this event. So head on over to our website, macintoshmemoriallibrary.org, and register today. We also have a bath bomb workshop taking place on Friday, February 27th. Maybe you just want to unwind, dip your toes into the bath, relax a little, and experience some fun fizzy magic. So come on down to the library and make your own bath bomb today on Friday, the 27th from 4 to 5, and registration is required for this event as well. We are also fortunate to have Kate Merritt in the 4-H Club stop by and do a program with us on Saturday, February 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You'll have a chance to make some fun bracelets, and registration is required for this event, so come and join us on that day in addition. Otherwise, in March, we also have a lot of fun programs going on. We have a Baby and Me Yoga and Music Morning on Friday, March 13th from 10 to 10:30. So to all of my moms out there, or maybe my dads, if you want to stop on by with a little one between the ages of 2 to 5, you can come and join us for some Mommy or Daddy and Me Yoga. We also have a Seed Swap Growing Expo taking place on Saturday, March 14th that we're going to get into here with our first interviewee. And this is going to be from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. This will take place all throughout the library, so the lobby, the circulation desk area, the children's section, the aviary, the adult section. We're going to have a wide variety of programs taking place, as well as different tools and resources that we'll share to people who are maybe looking to start their own garden at home this summer. We also have the Viroqua Co-op coming to join us to talk about their treats, offer a little tasting of some of the fun snacks that they have going on, and the history of the store. So John Christensen from the Viroqua Food Co-op will be coming by on Monday, March 9th from 4 to 5. Again, we will have snacks, so feel free to stop on by and join us. Outside of all of those, we have our ongoings. So if you are looking to come with your little one for story time, that is on Mondays from 10:30 to 11. We have a kids art club on the second and fourth Tuesdays of the month from 4 to 5. Registration is required for this one. And we also have a tween and teen art club on the first Tuesday of the month from 3:30 to 5 p.m. Outside of that, we have a fun STEM club starting up here. So if you are looking to get your hands on maybe some robots, coding, science experiments, different technology, math theme programs, we have a lot of fun stuff going on there. So come join us for a STEM club on the first and third Monday of the month from 4 to 5. Registration is required for this one. Outside of that, we have the Library Garden Club starting back up in March. So on the second and fourth Thursday of the month from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m., kids can come stop by, join us, and get their hands dirty in the soil with a fun-themed garden club that they can be a part of. This is open to ages 5 through 18, and all tools and gloves will be provided. So that's all of the youth programs that we have coming up here, and we are going to actually go ahead and jump into an interview with Mr. Caleb DeWitt of that Seed Swap Growing Expo here very shortly. All right, everybody, we are back in the studio, and we are joined today with Mr. Caleb DeWitt of his nonprofit, Spring Fire Learning Farm, to talk about that upcoming Garden Seed Swap Expo that we have going on in the library. So, Caleb, my first question for you, besides saying welcome, is why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, so I am Caleb DeWitt. I have a nonprofit called Spring Fire Learning Farm outside of Viroqua, helping people get into agriculture and growing healthy local organic food. I'm originally from Nebraska, but probably the least Nebraska part of Nebraska, Omaha, where it's the most hilly and most populous. So I actually didn't grow up having that kind of farm and growing experience, But when I served in AmeriCorps, I was kind of thrown into that and got really interested. Started Master Gardener training in Pennsylvania. Later on, I started to work at a tool library and garden resource depot in Pennsylvania, and just moved back full-time to Wisconsin, and I'm trying to bring some of those lessons learned here and ways that I really, really enjoyed serving the community there, see how that could translate to Viroqua.
All right. Thank you, Caleb. It sounds like you have, you know, such a wide experience in gardening and the whole kind of nature aspect that comes with it. So why don't you tell us a little bit then maybe about the Gardening Tool Library that we'll be releasing here also on March 14th and how that idea came about?
Yeah, I got inspired for the Garden Tool Library by actually working at a tool library that was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I saw how engaged the community was and what a great resource it was. People were saying that they're saving a lot of money because they're not having to buy new tools. They're able to experiment more, try things out, learn new tools, expand what they're capable of doing in their gardens. And I learned so much about the fun and interesting projects that people are doing to make their homes, yards, communities beautiful and delicious. And since I'm moving back full-time to Viroqua, I'm wondering what that could look like in this context, especially in a more rural area. What are people's projects? We have more land here. We have more agricultural background. So I'm trying to find a way to serve this community in a similar way, but adapted to how we live here.
All right, this is April here again, and I have a question for Caleb as well. So what is this seeds swap event going to be all about?
Yeah, so we are hosting a seed swap at the McIntosh Memorial Library in Viroqua. It's going to be on Saturday, March 14th, and a seed swap is a way to kind of localize agriculture and make growing things about connecting with your neighbor and your community and sharing resources so that we have kind of more of a closed loop when we're growing things and we're relying on each other as much as possible and kind of insulating ourselves from whatever else might be happening outside of our community. So people can bring in seeds that they've saved or purchased or aren't using, swap them with each other. Because oftentimes you'll get a seed packet, maybe there's 50 seeds in it and you don't need 50 tomato plants. So it's a great way to collaborate and get heirloom seeds and connect with your community, see what other people are up to.
Caleb, so I remember when I've talked to you in the past that there are also some types of like rules you need to follow. Like you can't just bring in any kind of seed that you want, correct?
Exactly. So we have some basic guidelines. Definitely we're not bringing in anything that's considered invasive in this area or aggressive. Things that we're encouraging are seeds that are native and beneficial to pollinators and our ecosystem here, vegetables and herbs, heirloom varieties. It can be things that you've collected or purchased, and we're asking that it comes in something that's closable so we're not spilling it everywhere and that the seeds are clean. And if you're collecting your own seeds, we just hope that it's not from a plant that has a disease or pest problems so that we can grow nice plants.
So our garden tool shed alongside the Seed Swap Expo are going to be unveiled on this Saturday, March 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., which will help to bring together gardeners of all experiences and all levels for a morning of our community connection, learning, and growth together. Thanks to this project, we have the Gardening Tool Shed, which will allow patrons to check out more than 70 brand new garden tools for a one-week loan period. All of our available tools, which were helpfully acquired thanks in part to Nelson Acre Center, include items for planting, cultivating, maintaining, and harvesting home gardens, which will make it easier for residents to start new gardens or expand their existing ones without the financial barrier of purchasing specialized equipment for this.
Caleb, what vendors are going to be at the Seed Swap event?
Yeah, we have a really exciting lineup of exhibitors and vendors from nonprofits to local businesses. Driftless Curiosity will be there, Driftless Folk School, Driftless Sacred Grove, Finscoga Farms, Insolidago Botanicals, Little Bird Plants, the library, of course, will be there, Second Harvest will be there, Who else? The Prairie Enthusiasts, Valley Stewardship Network, the Viroqua Chamber. And we're hosting a very special session with the Fix-It folks. They're going to be in the program room running a Fix-It session. And so you can bring in things that you might need a little tweaking, and their volunteers can help fix it up.
So it sounds like we're going to have a lot of really fun and exciting things going on. And I, for one, am certainly excited to see all the different people that will be there and, you know, have a little rundown of everything that we have coming up. So, Caleb, my question for you here as we wrap up is, A, why is this event good for the community? And B, why should people attend?
This event is good for the community because it is a way for us to connect together over something that makes us more resilient, growing our own food, and sharing seeds. We're promoting a sharing economy. We're launching the tool library. So that very day, once we do the ribbon cutting, you'll be able to check out from the collection of garden tools. And there's going to be presentations and activities and lectures so we can all, whether we're beginners or experts, up our gardening game, learn more. And it's actually going to be a little bit fun.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Caleb. It's been a pleasure to have you here in the studio. And I know I speak for both April and myself when we say it's always fun to see you.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks for coming by. All right. So again, listeners, that Garden Seed Swap Expo and the launch of the new Garden Tool Library is going to take place on Saturday, March 14th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And we hope you will all join us. Now, again, this is WDRT Viroqua, the Macintosh Radio Review, and we are going to go ahead and slide into our first break song. So for those who don't know, February is National I Love to Read Month, and a song that always makes me think of reading, especially the fantasy genre, is Soldier Poet King by the Oh Hellos.
There will come a soldier who carries a mighty sword. He will tear your city down.
Olay, 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 olay.
He will tear your city down. Olay.
All right, April Anderson here at WDRT, the McIntosh Radio Review. And with us today, we have Jenny Ross. She is the facilitator of the Mindfulness and Meditation Practice Group. And so I have a few questions for you today. The first one is just to please tell us about the Mindfulness and Meditation Practice Group. What kinds of activities do you do? That sort of thing.
Yeah, thanks, April. And I'm just really grateful to the library that they let us meet there. So for mindfulness and meditation, the idea is to just get to understand how our minds work better. And so mindfulness and kind of the deeper practice of meditation are ways that we can get to know how our minds work better and then get to understand, you know, kind of some of the craziness that goes on there, and also some ways to find a little more peace in there. And so that's really the basic thing. So we do everything. The basic format is we start with just a very simple, what we call grounding meditation, just arriving, getting in the body, and the just coming inwards for just a few minutes. Then we'll introduce a topic, talk about that, the theme for the day, and do some mindful movement. So we don't just sit. We meet for an hour and 15 minutes. That's way too long for anybody to just sit. So we move around, do some mindful movement, and then go into a seated meditation around that theme for the day, and then either have a conversation or maybe do a second meditation. So it's just it's an ongoing exploration. Everybody's doing their own thing, but with a little bit of guidance from me.
Thank you, Jenny. That sounds like a lot of fun. I would like to attend a program like that. I'll have to try to make one sometime here soon. When did you first get started with mindfulness and meditation?
That's a long, that's hard to say. Probably got started with meditation close to 40 years ago now, along with my yoga practice, but really started deeply getting into it about 20 years ago. And just found that it was really beneficial. I was going through a really stressful period in my life, and it was a way to just get things a little more grounded and a little less craziness. So it was working so well, you know, I thought, well, this is something that should be shared. And so for the past 15 years, I've been teaching various mindfulness groups. Started out teaching in the prison system, teaching mindfulness there. Also worked with an adaptive yoga group in Minneapolis, taught some meditation and worked in the yoga group there for people with disabilities. And then when I moved here, had the opportunity to teach more to people, you know, in my own community, which feels really great. And it's a great way to meet people and also just talk about what really matters to us, you know, trying to find a way to get along better together.
Wow, Jenny, you really have done a lot of amazing work with mindfulness and meditation. Thank you so much for sharing about your experiences. How long have you been partnering with the library to provide the Mindfulness and Meditation Practice Group?
It's been almost a year. We started the end of March in 2025, so we're coming up on our one-year anniversary. And I'm just really grateful to be able to be there, you know, to have that space, and the library helps get the word out. And it feels like a community space, you know, so it invites all kinds of people. We have a whole cross-section of people that show up. People who've never meditated before, people, you know, of all walks of life come in, all ages. So it's fun.
Ah, thank you, Jenny. What is your favorite part about facilitating the Mindfulness and Meditation Practice Group?
Probably the best part is meeting people and, you know, just hearing about how working with how your mind is relates to their lives. You know, everybody brings their own experience, their own things that they're working with. Some people are older and working with physical disabilities of some kind or another, or you're younger and you're in a stressful job. And so we all have different experiences, but we all share the experience of being a human being with the same basic ways of working with the mind, of understanding the mind. But by sharing the experiences, we can find out we're not alone. So I think that helps me. I think that's part of why I do it, because it's not totally altruistic. I benefit from this as well.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to interview you today. And I just have one more question. Is there anything else you would like to tell listeners about the Mindfulness and Meditation Practice Group?
Probably not too much other than everybody's welcome. Doesn't matter if you've never meditated before. We're just there to get together and, like I said, talk about this shared experience of a human mind and try to understand it. So it's not an ongoing program. You know, we're not going through a curriculum or anything. So people can just come whenever it works for them. We meet the second and fourth Tuesdays of every month at 5:30 to 6:45. And just hope that, you know, people come and try it out and see if it resonates with them.
All right. Thank you, Jenny, so much for being our guest today on the Macintosh Radio Review. We hope you have a wonderful rest of the day.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hello, this is April Anderson at WDRT on behalf of the Macintosh Radio Review. I'm going to talk about adult programs that are coming up. I'm going to start off by talking about Iris Folding, which is an adult art program that will take place on Thursday, February 19th at 5:30 p.m. in the program room, and registration is required. Join Jane Koster to create Iris Folded Mittens. Iris folding is a technique that involves layering paper strips across a cutout shape following a printed template. Traditionally, the paper strips form a swirl shape similar to the iris of a camera, which is where the technique gets its name. It can look a little bit complicated when you first see an iris folded art piece, but it's actually super simple to make and only needs basic supplies that you probably already own. Next, I'd like to talk about Winter Birds of the Coulee Region with Dan Jackson. This program will take place on Saturday, February 21st from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. in the library lobby. Mississippi Valley Conservancy invites community members to a special presentation led by naturalist and wildlife photographer Dan Jackson. As part of the Conservancy's Linked to the Land educational outreach program, this presentation offers a fun and accessible way for nature lovers to deepen their connection to the outdoors, right from their own backyards. Winter is an active season for feeder birds in the Driftless, and learning to identify and understand these species inspires stewardship and appreciation for the habitats that support them year-round. Jackson's talk will feature photos of common and a few uncommon winter birds that visit feeders in our region, along with engaging insights into their behavior, biology, and ecology. Whether you're new to backyard birding or a seasoned observer, this presentation will offer tips, visuals, and stories perfect for winter nature watching. Next, I want to talk about the Mindfulness and Meditation Practice Group. The next one takes place on Tuesday, February 24th at 5:30 p.m. in the program room. Registration is not required. Learn practical concepts and techniques for bringing the benefits of mindfulness into daily life. No previous experience is needed. Next up, I'll talk about Wisconsin Reads, Still True, Potluck and Book Discussion, which will take place on Thursday, March 5th from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the program room. Registration is required. So join us at Macintosh Memorial Library for a discussion of Still True by Maggie Ginsberg. This novel was the winner of the 2023 Wisconsin Library Association Literary Award for Fiction and many other awards. The novel is also the 2026 inaugural pick for the statewide Wisconsin Reads Digital Book Club. Wisconsin Reads is a free digital book club that offers a Wisconsin-rooted book for readers to enjoy, share, and discuss. The book is available in Wisconsin's digital library as an ebook or digital audiobook without holds or waiting until March 14th, 2026. Simply log in with your library card and borrow the title and enjoy. There will be a potluck and book discussion on Thursday, March 5th. Don't miss this chance to enjoy a great read, good conversation, and delicious food with your community. Oh, that's one other thing, too, I can't forget to mention. Everyone is also asked to bring a dish to share for the potluck. Next up, chocolate making with Amber Sawyer on Tuesday, March 10th at 5 p.m. in the program room. Registration is required. Learn how to use chocolate molds and create your own tasty treats, just like the pros. Whether you're a beginner or a chocolate enthusiast, this fun and interactive session is the perfect way to explore the art of chocolate making. Before working as an executive chef at Quail Run Golf Course in Richland Center and a sous chef in her hometown, Dodge County, Amber Sawyer worked nearly 8 years in a candy store making chocolate delicacies on a daily basis. Amber travels the state sharing her love of cooking. Next up, music therapy in partnership with Vernon County Over 50 on Wednesday, March 11th at 2:15 p.m. in the library lobby. Fran Felton is a music therapist in hospice at Mayo Clinic Health System in southwest Wisconsin. She shared that she is privileged to be invited into the homes of patients during the most vulnerable moments of their lives. Fran works to treat the person, not only their diagnosis. She truly listens to her patients and treats them with compassion and dignity. Attend this presentation to learn about Fran's vitally important work. Next up, insurance enrollment and resource connections with Scenic Bluffs Community Health Center staff on Thursday, March 12th from 9:15 to 11:15 a.m. in the conference room. Scenic Bluffs Community Health Center staff will be available to help people navigate their insurance options. They can also assist with Medicaid and Marketplace enrollment. People will need their annual income. For Marketplace enrollment, a device to access your email will be helpful. Staff can also connect people to helpful community resources. No registration is required and walk-ins are welcome. Next, I'd like to tell you about opioids in Vernon County with Sheriff Roy Torgerson on Tuesday, March 17th at 5:30 p.m. in the lobby. Sheriff Roy will discuss the use of opioids in Vernon County. He will give an overview from the law enforcement perspective, including the resources that officers carry. He will also share observations, statistics, and provide tips on what the general public can do. This event is thanks in part to grant funding received from the Vernon County Opioid Prevention and Abatement Steering Committee. The March event is one of several programs the McIntosh Memorial Library will host in 2026 as part of an opioid prevention and awareness series. Last but not least, there's going to be Supernatural Lake Superior with Chad Lewis on March 18th at 2:15 p.m. in the lobby. That's a Wednesday, in case you're curious. One great lake, many great mysteries. Beyond the rugged beauty and picturesque shoreline of Lake Superior lurk strange and bizarre legends. From countless ghostly ships, tales of mermaids and UFOs to sea serpents, cursed locations and wandering ghosts, you will soon discover that Lake Superior is filled with much more than watery graves. For over three decades, Chad Lewis has traveled the backroads of the world in search of the strange and unusual, from tracking vampires in Transylvania and searching for the elusive monster of Loch Ness to trailing the dangerous Tata Duende, I don't know if I said that correctly, bear with me, through remote villages of Belize and searching for ghosts in Ireland's castles, Chad has scoured the earth in search of the paranormal. Chad has been featured on the Discovery Channel's A Haunting, William Shatner's Weird or What, ABC's World's Scariest Places, Monsters and Mysteries in America, along with being a frequent contributor to Ripley's Believe It or Not radio. With a master's degree in psychology, Chad has authored over 35 books on the supernatural and extensively lectures on his fascinating findings. The more bizarre the legend is, the more likely you will find Chad there. Attend this exciting program on March 18th at 2:15 p.m. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, thank you for telling us all about those wonderful adult programs that we have coming up here, April. I'm actually going to follow that thread and announce a brand new initiative that we have going on at the library. For those who are familiar and have heard our radio show before, you've heard me talk about a grant that the library acquired called Books Unbanned. Books Unbanned, The Freedom to Read, is going to be an event that we are hosting on Friday, April 24th of 2026, that will talk about intellectual freedom, book censorship, and the power of storytelling. We are going to kick it off at the Rogue Area High School Gymnasium and move later on to the Westby Area Performing Arts Center. This event will feature acclaimed authors Lois Lowry and Angie Thomas, representatives from the National Books Unbanned campaign, student advocacy presentations, and a documentary film screening addressing the national rise in book bans. The Books Unbanned campaign, founded by the Brooklyn Public Library, champions access to challenge books and promotes education and advocacy around intellectual freedom. Through a grant awarded by the Brooklyn Public Library, McIntosh Memorial Library has been able to form a team of five local teenagers who have served as our Books Unbanned teen ambassadors. They have worked to promote the freedom to read and raise awareness in our community through advocacy efforts as well as outreach and community education. On this day, Friday, April 24th, we will open the doors at the Viroqua Area High School Gymnasium at 12:15 p.m. Programming begins at 12:45 p.m. with a presentation by the Books Unbanned Teen Ambassadors. We'll discuss their advocacy work and introduce a special virtual author visit through Zoom with Lois Lowry. Ms. Lowry will speak from 1 to 1:30 p.m. about her experiences as an author whose work has faced censorship, and from 1:30 to 2 p.m. will participate in a 30-minute question and answer session with the audience. Lois Lowry is the author of more than 50 books for children and young adults. She has received countless honors, among them the Boston Globe Horn Book Award, the Dorothy Canfield Fisher Award, the California Young Reader Medal, and the Mark Twain Award. She has also received two Newbery Medals for two of her most notable works, Number the Stars and The Giver. Events will continue later on at the Westby Area Performing Arts Center beginning at 4 p.m. with a presentation on the Books Unbanned movement. Emma Erickson of Brooklyn Public Library and of Books Unbanned will discuss the campaign's origins and its role in supporting libraries nationwide. From 4:30 to 6 p.m., the documentary The Librarians will be screened. The film examines the rise of book bans across the United States and the role librarians play in opposing censorship. Finally, the day will conclude from 7 to 8 p.m. with an evening talk by Ms. Angie Thomas, author of The Hate U Give. Ms. Thomas will discuss her work, the challenges it has faced, and the broader cultural conversation surrounding censorship, race, and storytelling. There will be a book signing with this author from 8 to 9 p.m. Books by Ms. Thomas will be available for purchase at the event through Dragonfly Books, based in Decorah, Iowa. Angie Thomas was born and raised in Mississippi, but now calls Atlanta, Georgia, her home. She holds a BFA in creative writing from Belhaven University and an unofficial degree in hip-hop. She is the inaugural winner of the Walter Dean Myers Grant of 2015, awarded by We Need Diverse Books. Her award-winning, acclaimed debut novel, The Hate U Give, is a number one New York Times bestseller and a major motion picture from Fox 2000, starring Amanda Stenberg and directed by George Tillman Jr. Her second novel, On the Come Up, is number one New York Times bestseller as well as a film that is directed by Santa Lathan, with Angie acting as a producer. In 2020, Angie released Find Your Voice, a guided journal to writing your truth as a tool to help aspiring writers tell their stories. And in 2021, Angie returned to the top of the New York Times bestseller list with Concrete Rose, which is a prequel to The Hate U Give that focuses on 17-year-old Maverick Carter. Her latest work, Nick Blake and the Remarkables, The Manifestor Prophecy, is the first in a series aimed at young readers, as well as Angie's first foray into the fantasy genre. Another New York Times bestseller at number one, it follows 12-year-old Nick Blake, who finds herself immersed in a magical world heavily influenced by Black history and folklore. A film adaptation is forthcoming, with Angie helming the script and producing. All programs in this event on Friday, April 24th are free, thanks to funding provided by the Ridges and Rivers Book Festival, the Books Unbanned campaign, and the Vernon County Opioid Prevention and Abatement Steering Committee. We hope that you join us, and we are looking so, so, so forward to this event. All right, we are now going to transition into our second break song. Again, following that thread of I Love to Read Month taking place in February, a song that always makes me think of poetry is Someone New by Hozier.
Thank you. every step that I ran to you. Only blue or black days. Electing strange perfections in any stranger I choose. Would things be easier if there was a right way, honey?
We are back in the studio, and now this is WDRT Viroqua, the Macintosh Radio Review. We are going to go ahead and move into the first of our book talks with April Anderson's recommended book readings.
All right. Thank you, Amelia. I'm excited to tell listeners about a few books that I've read recently. The first one is Say You're Sorry by Karen Rose. A serial killer terrorizing the women of Sacramento meets his match in this pulse-pounding novel from New York Times bestselling author Karen Rose. There is a serial killer on the loose, preying on vulnerable women. When he grabs Daisy Dawson, he believes he has found his next victim. But despite her small stature, she fights back with an expertise that quickly frees her. Before fleeing the scene, Daisy also manages to grab what proves to be crucial evidence, a necklace from around the killer's neck. The necklace is more than a trivial item. It is a link to a cold case that Special Agent Gideon Reynolds has been tracking for 17 years. With Daisy's help, Gideon finally has the opportunity to get closer to the truth than ever before. I really enjoyed that book, and if you decide to give it a try, I hope you do as well. The next book I want to talk about is called The Book of Lost Hours by Haley Gelfuso. Again, I don't know if I said that correctly. Forgive me if I didn't. For fans of the Ministry of Time and the Midnight Library, a sweeping, unforgettable novel following two remarkable women moving between post-war and Cold War era America and the mysterious time space, a library filled with books containing the memories of those who bore witness to history. Enter the Time Space, a soaring library filled with books containing the memories of those who have passed and accessed only by specially made watches, once passed from father to son, but mostly now in government hands. This is where 11-year-old Lisavette Levy finds herself trapped in 1938, waiting for her watchmaker father to return for her. When he doesn't, she grows up among the books and specters, able to see the world only by sifting through the memories of those who came before her. As she realizes that government agents are entering the time space to destroy books and maintain their preferred version of history, she sets about saving these scraps in her own volume of memories, until the appearance of an American spy named Ernest Duquesne in 1949 offers her a glimpse of the world she left behind, setting her on a course to change history and possibly the time space itself. In 1965, 16-year-old Amelia Duquesne is mourning the disappearance of her uncle Ernest when an enigmatic CIA agent approaches her to enlist her help in tracking down a book of memories her uncle had once sought. But when Amelia visits the time space for the first time, she realizes that the past and the truth might not be as linear as she'd like to believe. Perfect for fans of the Midnight Library and the Ministry of Time, the Book of Lost Hours explores time, memory, and what we sacrifice to protect those we love. And this was also a really great book, so I hope you enjoy this one if you decide to give it a try. Thank you.
Wow, April, those sound like a lot of good reads. I know that the serial killer one that you talked about at first really sparked my interest. I'll have to give that a look-see. Okay, now on the youth side of things, well, actually, as the youth services director, I could talk about youth books, but I'm actually going to talk about a few adult books that I've been reading that I've really enjoyed lately. The first of these is the much trending The People We Meet on Vacation by Emily Henry. For those who are unfamiliar, a film recently came out starring Emily Bader and Tom Blythe, and it is one of my favorite movies. It has absolutely jumped to the top of my charts of things I love to watch. So The People We Meet on Vacation feature two main characters named Poppy and Alex, and they meet in college, and throughout the time span of about the next 8 to 9 years, I believe it is, you kind of see how their friendship develops, and they go to all sorts of different locations such as New Orleans and Norway and all sorts of tropical spots as well. I absolutely love this book. I found it very intriguing. It's a bit of a romance book, so if that's right up your genre, I highly recommend it. The second book that I want to talk about is actually a throwback to what I just talked about prior to the song with The Hate U Give by Miss Angie Thomas. This book stars a character named Star Carter and the experience that she has as a young Black girl in America. This book features lots of talks about race and how to overcome some challenges that people face. I know for one that I found this book really intriguing and I learned lots of things that I didn't know before. So if this is, an event that you want to attend here on Friday, April 24th, starring Miss Angie Thomas, the author of The Hate U Give, I highly recommend this book for you to do a little soul searching and maybe learn something about yourself that you might not have known before. All right, this is WDRT Viroqua, the Macintosh Radio Review. So we are going to go ahead and jump into now some library announcements. For those who visited yesterday, you would have seen that we have moved the Tony collection. For all and any who are unfamiliar with the Tonys, they are these cute little audio characters that look like Winnie the Pooh or Tigger or Tinkerbell. There's all sorts. We have a really wide range available for patrons to access. So they have been move now over to our toddler section right above the board books and opposite the early readers, and they are actually now located next to the Tony boxes. So in order to listen to a Tony audio story, you just go ahead and put a cute little Tony character right on top of the box and the audio will start playing. So if that is something that you might be interested in, I highly recommend checking it out. And again, they are now above the board books and opposite the early reader section. We also have a brand new collection coming your way at McIntosh Memorial Library for the youth to enjoy. Perfect for that elementary age of birth to 10-year-olds, we have what are called the Discovery Kits. For all of our patrons who have been around the library for a while, you might remember prior to the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, we used to offer these Discovery Kits. And what they were was like a backpack that was filled with toys and books that people could take home to entertain their children or grandchildren, maybe over the course of a long weekend or a snow day, or just kind of a fun home activity to do. So these will be making a comeback with all sorts of brand new books and toys, and each book will have a different, or each kit will have a different theme. So we have dinosaur kits to match this upcoming national reading theme of Unearth a Story. We have a zoo kit. We have all sorts of fun different animal kits. We also have a Lego kit. We'll have an art kit. So this is going to start, you know, becoming available to the public around mid-March. And they are going to be located right below the early readers on the bottom shelf. You can check out one at a time. They are available to take home, but they're only available to Viroqua patrons. The prior checkout time on them was 1 week, and that is something we are going to continue. So you can check them out for 1 week, and then you can bring it back. So this is a brand new collection that we are very excited to announce at the library, and I highly recommend checking it out around mid-March as well. All right, I'm going to go ahead and hand the mic over to April Anderson here, who's going to tell us a little bit about home delivery.
Thank you, Amelia. So home delivery service is something that I help to coordinate. So people that are unable to go to the library to pick up library materials on their own can sign up for the home delivery service program so that I myself can gather those materials and take them to your home where you live. I also go to other places like Vernon Manor, different facilities to drop off materials that people are interested in from the library. You know, again, when someone's not able to get to the library themselves. Home delivery service takes place on Wednesdays, and deliveries occur anytime between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. in the afternoon. And if you're interested in the home delivery service program, all that you would need to do is fill out an application and then turn that application in, and you can be added into the system, so to speak, and just to be signed up. So, you know, don't hesitate to become a part of this service if you're interested. All right, this is April at WDRT on behalf of McIntosh Radio Review. I'm excited to talk to you about the library job pod. And you might be thinking, job pod? What's a job pod? Well, a job pod is going to help connect people who are job seeking to services that and services and resources that can help them. So they can be people that are job seekers can be connected with workforce development experts. So like if you haven't done a cover letter or a resume, or maybe you've never done something like that before, you can get help with those types of things. So this will be a wonderful resource for the community. And in celebration of that, there's going to be a Job Pod grand opening ceremony on February 26th that will take place at the library. There will be light refreshments and cookies, and there will be some guest speakers and a ribbon cutting ceremony. And with the Job Pod, we're also partnering with two local employers. We're partnering with Nelson Global and the Westby Creamery, so that when those businesses are hiring, they're going to help encourage applicants to utilize the job pod services that are at the McIntosh Memorial Library. So we are super excited about this event, and we hope you are able to join us on February 26th. More details can be found in a press release that should have come out recently about it, and on the website and within the library itself. There's a huge sign promoting the grand opening ceremony right next to the job pod itself. We hope you can join us.
You can also check it out on our Facebook page, Viroqua Library, and we'll have lots of news and announcements regarding it there as well. We hope to see you. All right. Well, thank you for all of that fun information, April, and I'm sure everyone will be as excited as I am to see that job pod roll out. All right. We are going to go ahead and do our staff highlight. Again, this is WDRT Viroqua, the McIntosh Radio Review, and this month's featured staff person is Mr. Chris Croninger. Featured highly at our circulation desk and one of the more well-known faces of the library, Mr. Chris Croninger has been around the library for the last, I think, 3 to 4 years, and he helps manage our circulation desk. This includes checking books in and out, monitoring shelving, and making sure that our collections always stay neat and tidy. Directly interfacing with all of our patrons and greeting you with a friendly smile and a conversation, and just always being there to help manage whatever questions, requests, etc. that you bring in. So thank you to Mr. Chris Kroniger for being this month's staff person, and we look forward to seeing what continues on at the circulation desk. Now April is going to go ahead and tell us a little bit about some of the fun other programs we have going on at the library, such as Mystery Date with a Book.
Thank you, Amelia. I forgot to mention Mystery Date with a Book earlier. So this is a program just for adults. So currently there are wrapped books available for you to take one for free. They are wrapped in purple, pink, and red wrapping paper to kind of go along with the month of February. And you can take one of those books and it's a mystery. You have no idea what book is inside. You get to take it home, unwrap it, and keep it. And if you end up with a book that you maybe don't like or it's not your specific genre that you prefer, you could always, you know, trade with someone else maybe that you know might like the book. And this program is going until the end of February. So if you have not stopped by yet to grab a book, please consider doing so, especially if you're up for a mystery to discover, ooh, what book might I get?
All right, we are now going to go into, I'm sure, the much beloved joke section. So April, my first joke for you today is, where do you find Bigfoot?
I don't know.
In the large print section.
All right, my first joke is, why are libraries the tallest buildings in the world?
Why?
Because they have so many stories.
That's a good one. All right, why did the librarian slip?
I have no idea.
Because they were in the non-friction section.
And then my next joke is, why did the cardiologist recommend that his patients go to the library?
Why?
He heard they're good for circulation.
That's a pretty funny one. Alrighty, now we are going to go ahead and do a short but quick, kind of sad little announcement here. For all of who have listened to all of our shows so far, you will know that they've always been co-hosted by myself, Amelia Jury, Youth Services Director at McIntosh Moore Library, and April Anderson, the Adult Programming and Outreach Coordinator. And I'm very sad to say that this is the last radio show that we will be doing with Miss April Anderson, as she is going to move into some new projects and endeavors at another spot. So, April, why don't you maybe tell us a little bit about where you're going and what's next in your journey?
Yeah, thank you, Amelia. So, yes, unfortunately, today is my last radio show. I will miss co-hosting with Amelia and, you know, being on the radio for everyone to hear and listen to all the wonderful programs and things going on at the library. I will be working for the Sparta Area School District in Sparta, which is where I live. So while I will greatly miss working at the McIntosh Memorial Library, it will be nice to be a little bit closer to home. So I do have family that live outside the area, so I will come back to visit, and I'm excited to do that, and I will greatly miss my coworkers.
Yeah, this isn't goodbye, April. We'll have you on the show again, I'm sure, sometime hopefully in the future.
I think I can be talked into doing that.
All right. So thank you again to all of our listeners who have joined us today. We are going to go ahead and transition now into our closing song. And I hope you guys all have a bright and sunny rest of your February. Thanks, guys.